and we look around and we're kind of like, you know what? I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to do anything because they'll take care of it. And if we always walk through life with the idea or the understanding that the next person's going to take care of it, then many times nothing ever gets done. You see, each one of us have a duty. We have a responsibility. And the responsibility and the duty that we have as Christians is to stand on the truth that we know. And if we don't stand on the truth that we know, then everything around us and the thing that we stand on is sinking sand. It is a thing that will not last. It is a foundation that is weak. You see, I think in the body of Christ, we need to strengthen our legs a little bit, because the legs are the foundation which we stand on, and then the ground that we stand on needs to be that solid rock, Jesus Christ. Last week, I went through a 45-minute rant. I yelled and screamed and threw out everything that God had laid in my heart. And today, I don't know if I'll repeat it or not. Maybe I will. Who knows? Maybe we'll do 2 hours and 45 minutes today. It's raining outside. Might as well stay here. Or maybe we'll just do 30 minutes. I don't know. But we are meeting today. We are meeting today because we're free to do so. You're sitting here right now because you woke up this morning with a purpose and an understanding that you're not going to allow things to keep you away. I said it last week and I'll say it again this week. If you feel like you're being made to come to church and you're not coming on your own free will, leave. Don't come to church. Because there's a purpose for you being here right now. You see, we've been created to fellowship and gather together. This, my friends, is healthy. There is nothing about this that is unhealthy. If you're at home and you don't have a home church and you're watching this on Facebook, you need to find a home church. I'm not encouraging you to say it would be good to do so. I'm saying you need to find a home church because it's healthy and it's good for you. It's good to be around people. It's good to not isolate yourself. It's good to be in fellowship. It's good to sing praises. The title of today's message is Unnamed Road. You see, Friday night, Stephanie and I were driving home from Virginia after a week in our nation's capital and in Alexandria visiting our daughter who's in the Coast Guard, our oldest daughter, Alexis. And we're driving back. And we got this thing called GPS, right, on the vehicle. And we trust GPS, right? Right? I mean, that's the all-knowing GPS, right? And so we're going down the road, and all of a sudden it's saying, you know, make a left turn, make a right turn, 2 miles, and it speaks to us the whole way. It's really cool. And it got us through a lot of really hairy situations. It got us through Washington, D.C. You know, I mean, some pretty cool things. And we're going. And we're now in this area because there was an accident. It said, do you want an alternate route? And we're like, yeah, we'll take the alternate route. Well, the alternate route turned to be into this place. It was like the far southern eastern part of Ohio just coming out of West Virginia. Now, nothing against West Virginia and Ohio down there, but it was like deliverance at the moment, okay? I mean, I started to hear banjos playing and all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, you know, it says, in 2 miles, make a right turn. On Unnamed Road. It literally said Unnamed Road, but that wasn't the name of the road. It just said it had no name. It didn't know what to call it. Just turn on this Unnamed Road. And I thought, you know what? That would make a really good title to a message. But not this week's message, I told Stephanie. Not this week, because I've got something else planned. And then Saturday night, God said, nope, that would be a really good title. Actually, it was Friday night, early Saturday morning. Nope, go ahead and make that title. Because here's the deal. Think about our walk right now. Everything that is happening in the world, not just the United States, but in the world right now, is an unnamed road. We have no clue what tomorrow brings. Right now, we have no idea. Right? I used to say, it's the best day of my life. People say, why it's the best day of your life? And I said, because yesterday's gone. I don't know if tomorrow's coming. If I die today, I know where I'm going. Because this is what we know. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's sufficient, right? And we can't replay yesterday. I'm not getting anything back that happened yesterday, but I can learn from yesterday, right? Yeah. So that going forward, I can make better decisions. And that's a Christian walk. So right now, we have no clue. You know, how do we go through life? How do we go through the road that we're on right now. See, the Bible says that wide is the path, narrow is the way that leads to life, but few find it. And so we're all on this road, and many times we're veering to the left, we're veering to the right, and we don't even know what the road's called. Sometimes the road might be called Destruction Road, or it might be called Victory Road. We have no idea, but we're on different roads every day. I want to travel the right road, though. And so when this said unnamed road, I thought, wow, do we turn on unnamed road? Should we trust the GPS and just turn? Because we're totally out. I'm like, as long as we're going north and west, we're going the right direction. Because that's all I knew. But the reality was, is we were trusting, blindly trusting the GPS. Come on. And I thought, you know what? In this unnamed walk that we're in right now, on this unnamed road that we're on right now, we need to trust God. Amen. We need to trust His GPS that says this is the way to go. This is how you get there. And we don't know the name of what it is right now. We have no clue what to call this. Do we call it a pandemic or do we call it a plandemic? You know, there's a lot of different voices out there saying a lot of different things. What do you believe? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is what you believe. Yes, sir. It needs to line up with the Word, and it needs to line up with the Spirit that God gave us, and that's the Holy Spirit. You see, the thing that gives us discernment, the thing that brings us back into remembrance, the thing that gives us understanding, that is what we need to trust. Amen. So on this unnamed road of life that we're on right now, we have to trust God through all of this. Yes, He is God Almighty. Yes, He is King of Kings. But there are kings in place right now that have some authority that we need to kind of discern. What is it really saying and what does it look like? Before I go there, I want to just recap a little bit of last week, a very, very little bit of last week. Last week, I laid out the full armor of God. And I don't think I put enough emphasis on the very first thing that we put on. The very first thing that you put on in the full armor of God is the belt of truth. And something that I didn't say last week that I have to say this week is the belt of truth that we put on also is the thing that houses the sword of the Spirit. Do you see, it's the very thing, the belt of truth is the very thing that keeps the armor together. It's the very thing that allows you to hold the sword of the Spirit. You see, we picture the sword of the Spirit in the hand like this, but the sword of the Spirit is really sheathed on the belt. And when we release it, there's power in that release. But if we don't have the truth on, then it doesn't make any sense because Satan tries to use the sword of the Spirit. He tried to use the sword of the Spirit against Jesus, and Jesus was saying, no, God says this. Because there's the world out there right now that is trying to distort the word. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is why you have to have the truth. You may use the word in one way, but that's not the true way. This is the true way. And the only way you're going to know it is if you study it. The only way you're going to know whether or not you're being deceived is if you know the word yourself. So we take everything. We like, oh, did you hear what CNN said? Oh, did you hear what MSNBC said? Ooh, did you hear what ABC said? Whatever. And we get inundated with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? We get inundated with it, and all of a sudden, that lie becomes our truth. And it's over and over, and if you hear a lie long enough, you believe it. And it's like, man, I've heard it, and I heard it, and I turned to this news station and said the same thing. But all they're saying right now is death and destruction. All they're leading you to is an area and an element of fear, which as a Christian takes you out of your element of faith. And when we don't have faith as a Christian, then what are you standing on? What does it look like? How is your life now being run? We just went through 6 states. And in the 6 states, everybody's running the same thing. So I started to think, man, in 50 states, and not just the 50 states, but in the world, man, everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's being isolated. Everybody's being shut down. Everybody's being told to socially distance. Everybody's being told to cover your face and wear a mask and all these different things. And I thought, wow, is there a difference in anything? And then you start to question, am I wrong? Am I wrong as a Christian to go, you know what? I should be doing all of this. And then I have to go back to the Word. And I go, you know what? But the Word is more powerful in my life than anything else. And so I started to lay this out. And last week I said I'm going to talk about government and who the government is and how we're supposed to listen to the government. And I'll break it down in some things. The first verse I go to is Romans 13. And I'm just going to, there's a lot of scriptures I have today. If you're taking notes, write them down if you want to study them. Romans 13, verse 1 through 7 lays out how we're supposed to be with the government, okay? I'm just only going to go to verse 1 right now for time's sake, because I'm going to hit some other books in the Bible. It says, let every soul be subject under the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power that he has ordained is of God. So we look at that and we go, all right, we're to submit to governing authorities. And so what happens is we look at the government and we go, all right, well, they are saying this, so we must do that. Now listen, when the government lays out a law, you can adhere to it or not. Are you with me? If you adhere to it, you probably will not be in trouble for any reason whatsoever, right? If you don't adhere to it, there's consequences. Is that clear? So if you don't listen to what the law lays out, there are consequences or can be consequences. Are we clear in that? All right. So I just want to read this quick note. It is important for Christians to be actively involved in government so that the government's values are consistent with the Word of God. But what happens, and I have been guilty of it, I was the person, whether I was in the military or not, I was kind of like, well, whatever. It was kind of the Kuna Matata attitude, man. It was like, yeah, hey, okay, they're the president, cool. Oh, they're the government, cool. Well, who is your? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I was guilty of it. But I find myself, the older I get and the more mature I get and the better understanding I get, that we have a vital role to play in this, because this country was built and founded on Judeo-Christian values and morals. And what has been happening throughout the centuries now, and throughout most recently the past 50 years, is the Christian values are being pulled and taken away. And nobody is to blame except us, the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are the ones to blame. And there is a group of Christians right now that are totally, absolutely against those that are in governmental positions and authority that stand on the Word. And they're for whatever the news is telling them. And they've been blinded by the God of this world, and they don't see or understand the truth. And so what happens is we get really cautious on what we say because we don't want to step on anybody's toes and we don't want to hurt feelings. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or get anybody angry with me. But the reality is there's at some point we have to be bold enough to say, you know what? A man and a man marrying each other or a woman and a woman marrying each other isn't right. Okay? In the world, you can do it all you want. But in the church, that's not right. But I see the church succumbing to it and submitting to it more and more because we're trying to understand why. Well, why are they doing it and why are they like that? Because it's love, right? But we have to understand the fullness of love. And last week I laid out, open rebuke is better than hidden love. It's okay to tell somebody what they're doing is it wrong. The world will say because you don't agree, you hate them. I said it last week. I feel like I got to say it again because it needs to be heard over and over again. Just because you disagree with somebody does not mean you hate them. Amen. The world will tell you that, but you can't blame the world for that. They don't know any different. They don't know any better. But if you're a Christian and your mind is misconstruing the truth, it's misconstruing the Word, it's not understanding the fullness of the Word, then we continue to lose ground as a Christian nation. And it's, again, we're the only ones to look at. We're the only ones to blame. That's it. That's it. And so we have to continue to stay studied up. And look, I want to go to 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and 14. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 14. Again, this is submission to rulers. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme or unto governors, as unto them that they are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So Paul lays it out in Romans. Peter lays it out in 1 Peter. We then go into 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, again, lays out how we're supposed to be with governors and rulers. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, says it like this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And again, so again, it lays out how we are supposed to look at our governing authorities that are over us. Something that's very, very important to realize, though, is Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when a governing authority, according to the Word of God, when a governing authority tells you to do something that is against the Word of God, you, in God's eyes, do not have to listen to it.
That's right.
Okay? Now, what did I say a few minutes ago? If you don't follow what the governing authority says because you're going to listen to what God is saying, there are consequences that we will have to pay because we are breaking the laws of what the governor or government has laid out. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But this is your decision and your choice to make. So, do you want to go on what the Word of God is saying, or do you want to go on what man is saying? You see, Scripture is laid out with what the apostles have done against what the authorities were saying, and they paid the price. The question would be is, as a believer in this free country that we love, I love this country, are you willing to pay the price? And what does it look like? And you know what? I can't stand up here in front of you right now and tell you what I'm willing to pay. Because I think it's situational. I think it's situational. I think when you get into the very situation, you'll get a check in your spirit on what is going to be right and what may be wrong. But that's up to you to determine based on where you're at in your faith and your walk. You know, we were able to go to George Washington's home. And that was absolutely amazing. And I got to look at some of the things that George Washington did. You know, he was a surveyor. You know, his home that he lived and died in was originally established in the 1600s, and he was later in it in the 1700s. But after being a surveyor and making quite a bit of money, he bought some more land. And I'm not trying to give you a history lesson, but he always wanted to be in the military, and so he fought in the French and Indian War for Britain. He fought for Britain against the French and Indians and was a war hero. But later on, there was a thing called the Boston Tea Party, and it was taxation without representation. And the colonials, who were under British rule, they were going, hey, this isn't right. There are some things taking place right now that aren't lining up. And this isn't good. You're just telling us we have to do this without even allowing us to be a voice. We're a free, separate nation. There's some things that need to happen here. And so the colonial army was formed. And George Washington, a general of that army, fought. And this was one of the longest battles ever that America has done since Vietnam. It was the longest one except for Vietnam. And it was right here on this soil. And it was about how we become a free nation. And we are a free nation. But again, George Washington was a Christian. George Washington loved God. But he also embraced other religions because he said, you know what, this is what we fought for. So other religions, you're welcome to come. But the foundation of this country was founded on the Judeo-Christian value.
Yes.
So the very foundation that this country has been based on is being pulled away little by little again because we aren't a voice. Because we're a silent majority. We're not doing anything or saying anything about it. We're just allowing things to happen. Because I think we don't understand love. I think it's like, well, you know, if I disagree with them, they're going to think I don't love them. That's the tactic of Satan. He doesn't want you to say anything. He wants you to feel like you don't love anybody.
That's right, buddy.
But that's not the truth, because the Word of God says things totally different than that.
Amen.
It says, no, truth and love, truth and grace. Open rebuke's better than hidden love. The Bible lays it out. We're supposed to speak up through the process and not be quiet. You know, I walked through. We were in Washington, D.C., and we were at the Washington Monument, surrounded by American flags, and it was just awe-inspiring. And from there, we went to the World War II Memorial. My dad fought in World War II, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, there was over 400,000 Americans died in World War II. The blood and the backs of Americans have fought for the freedom of this country, but we're allowing a few voices out there that are blinded by the god of this world to rule and reign. Not right. Not right. We went from the World War II Memorial to the Vietnam Wall. Oh, my gosh. The Vietnam Wall goes from this wall of the sanctuary all the way to the front to the administration building with names from top to bottom, from the very beginning all the way to the very end. Hundreds of thousands of names of Americans that were then brutally treated when they came home to America, but they were only following orders. Finally, now to this date, people are finally saying, God bless you for your service. People forget. People forget.
Amen.
People are giving their life because they're obeying the law of what the government has said, go and do. And the Bible says there is no greater love than give your life to a brother. And soldiers do it all the time. Soldiers and sailors, Marines, airmen and women. They do it all the time. But we forget these things. We forget how this country was built. And we want to destroy statues. Stop it. Destroying statues. That is our history that reminds us of the good and the bad. Not to do it again or to continue doing it. And we moved on from World War II Memorial. And we walked through in the Vietnam Memorial. And then to the other side is the Korean War Memorial. And then we go into Abraham Lincoln and that memorial. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this city is showing, it's depicting the greatness of this nation. Washington, D.C. was a massive city. The buildings, the architecture, everything massive. Beautiful, grand design, built on the foundation of Christian values. That city was built on the foundation of Christian values. But like you heard today when Chaplain Chuck sang the song by Lee Greenwood, that the nation capital was empty. Hardly anybody there. I'm looking at Steph going, it's because God loves us, man, and we didn't want a crowd. But the reality is that there's fear out there that's stopping people from living life. You're not going out or doing anything. You're just filled with fear based on a narrative of the news that tells you how many people have died. And I laid it out last week, and I will take this. I stand on this 100%. The death numbers that they're showing you are false. They're wrong. They're not accurate. They're putting anybody and everybody that was on a ventilator, COVID death. Somebody dies in a car accident and they put them on a ventilator. It's a COVID death. Are you serious? Somebody has a heart attack, but they get on a ventilator. It's a COVID death. The numbers are wrong, but the narrative is that you need to know that there's all these people dying, so live your life in fear. It's not the truth. From personal experience, not what I'm hearing on YouTube or Facebook, guys, from people I know that have family members that were marked as death of COVID when they didn't even die of COVID.
Yes,
and the list goes on and on. We're not here to serve the government, guys. Did you realize the government was put in place to serve us?
That's right.
for the people, by the people.
That's right.
For the people, by the people. That was put in place because it was taxation without representation. This country wanted to be able to represent. There's people right now that are voting certain ways from the polls because they were raised that way. But they forgot that they became a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you need to vote based on not the party. You need to vote based on what's right and wrong. And if somebody is for a Green Bill Act versus the life of an innocent person, and you're voting because you want the Green Bill Act, but you don't care about the life of an innocent person, you're wrong. You're wrong. That is not what God would want. That is not what God would want. But we get caught up in the narrative of what's happening in the world. But don't you know you're part of the kingdom of God? And the kingdom of God is not this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But when we allow ourselves to line up with the world, there's no difference. How can people see the power of God moving if your life is lined up with the world? If you have no power being released through you because you're afraid to stand for what you truly believe in, because you want to be silenced instead of you want to avoid conflict, for whatever the reason may be, and I'm guilty of it myself, guys. I mean, this is hard to talk about with a bunch of believers that I believe love me. Could you imagine saying it to people who don't love you and hate you? The thing is, they're probably not going to get it. That's why the weapon of our mass destruction is love. We need to love them. But loving somebody doesn't mean you agree with everything that they do. If they're doing something that's wrong, if you really love them, you'll let them know what you're doing isn't good for you. And the list goes on. Acts 5:29. This is good. Acts 5:29. This is Peter. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. We are to obey civil government. But if it goes contrary to the explicit commands of God, we must obey God and be ready to suffer the consequences."
Good word.
You see, the apostles were told by governing authorities, by officials, by rulers, don't preach the gospel. You know, right now, every religion in America except Christianity, you can talk about in the workplace, you can do in the workplace. If it's a different religion or swearing, it's allowed in the workplace. But if you're a Christian, you talk about Jesus, nope, that's not allowed. Did they say sex, politics, and religion don't belong? But sex and politics are talked about in the workplace all the time. And when it comes to religion, it should say Christianity is not allowed. Because if you're Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, nobody has an issue with you talking about that stuff. But if you're a Christian and you say something, oh, watch out. It's a swear word. Jesus to the world is a swear word. Why do people use Jesus and GD and all that stuff? Why doesn't people say, oh, holy Buddha? You know? No. Because there's a direct attack on the God that we love. There's a direct attack on the God that we serve. There's a direct attack on the Christians in the United States of America. And we stay silent. And we don't say anything. We keep our mouths closed. Tyranny. Tyranny is defined as cruel and oppressive government or rule, or unreasonable or arbitrary use of power or control. Unreasonable or arbitrary. Arbitrary. I mean, I just feel it's better this way. There's people, see, let me just throw this out there. An executive order means I'm making a decision without a vote. Because I've been put in office, I'm going to make a decision because you put me in office. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to do it. That's what an executive order is. The state of Michigan has executive order after executive order after executive order. I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm saying it's taken your right to choose away. And that takes your freedoms away. So we meet in church today when people are saying churches shouldn't congregate because you know what? You're going to kill people. That's what they're saying. You're going to kill people because people have a mindset that COVID is a death sentence. For some it is. For most, it isn't. I talked about this last week. And we get so caught up. Is there tyranny taking place right now? I think some people will say yes, and I think some people will say, I don't know, or I don't think so. But the Revolutionary War was fought against tyranny. This country was founded so we would not be under a tyrannical government. Come on. That's how this country was developed.
Amen.
It's history. Acts 4:18 through 20. Some more examples. Acts 4:18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. But they weren't going to be silenced. And they, at that time, they were set free. But they weren't going to be silenced. There's going to be people that are going to tell you to close your mouth and not speak. They're going to tell you that what you're saying isn't welcome here. But if it's the truth and if it's the word of God, I encourage you, speak. You're not going to have people agree with you all the time. But speak. Because there is a loud minority right now that is totally disrupting this great country. You see, 9 years in the Army, I took an oath. And I know the Bible talks about not taking oaths, but as an American, I took an oath that said, I will defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's a great enemy that is among us as a Christian, and I would say that is the powers and principalities of darkness.
Yes, sir.
And people are used in that process. People are not our enemy. I will stand in complete agreement. Absolutely, people are not our enemy, but people are influenced by powers and principalities of darkness. They're influenced by demonic powers. But there's a church out there that doesn't pray or even believe in demonic powers. Well, I don't really know. But Jesus Christ came casting out demons, and the apostles are casting out demons, and I've casted out demons. And I'm here to tell you that you have the power and the authority to do so, but we don't utilize it. Right now is the time for the Christians to be speaking more and praying more than ever before. We can't be quiet. In Daniel 3, see, this is really cool because history lays it out in the Word of God. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. See, King Nebuchadnezzar said, everybody bow. But the three that were of God and for God said, we will not bow to you, only our God.
Amen.
They paid the consequence, right?
Yes.
They were thrown into the fiery furnace. But wow, they saw four in there instead of three. They didn't even get singed. They might have got heated a little bit, but nothing even got burned. And there was a supernatural miracle. So here what I'm going back to, we're on a road that we haven't traveled. We're on an unnamed road right now, guys. But our trust needs to be in God. Our trust needs to be that even in the midst of somebody saying you got to do this and you know it's not godly to do it, and you step out, you have to believe that God is going to be there with you. He's going to protect you through the process. In Daniel 6, Daniel, there was a decree that came out through the land. You shouldn't pray. Don't pray. But Daniel, he went back to where he normally does. He opened up his windows, faced Jerusalem, and like he normally had done, he prayed. And he got arrested because he broke the law, the ordinance, the rule from the king, and he was thrown into the lion's den. And while he was in the lion's den, he made friends with the lions, and they didn't eat him. And he was released. And the people that made the rule, they were thrown in and ate. Do you see, again, it goes back. God protecting his people for doing what was right. Acts 16, Paul was jailed for casting out demons. But we know that in jail, Paul was used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. All the apostles were killed for their faith, except John. I'm not sure how. He was boiled alive, and he wasn't even harmed. But apostles were killed for their faith. Can you imagine where the faith of a Christian would be if we weren't willing to take a stand? You see, the word was written that says, arm yourself with the full armor of God, having done all, stand, continue to stand, withstand, stand your ground. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yep.
Quit backing up, quit laying down, quit having the world walk all over you. Quit it. Stop it. No more. They've come this far, but no more. Now it's time to push back. Now it's time to push back. I'm not saying take up arms and start shooting people. Hear what I'm saying. It's time to push back in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. You've came this far, but no further.
Amen.
No further. When the voting happens,
good word, Pastor.
Don't throw your hands up and go, well, there's no candidate I want to vote for. Vote for the one that is for life. Vote for the one that is for the rights and dignity of a human being, the innocent. Vote for them. Don't just lay down, because if you lay down thinking your neighbor's going to go ahead and do it, that's how stuff does not get done. In Acts 16 again, Paul brought a Gentile to the temple. He brought somebody that wasn't like them to the temple. And he was jailed for that. You see, there's a hurting world out there. And we need to gather them up. Gather them up. And you're like, well, how is it going to happen? I don't know. I'm not God. But I think if you... Amen to that, right? No, I'm not God. But here's the reality. We've all been called to be a witness of what Jesus Christ is and his power. And we do it. So now let's talk about things that are happening right here in Michigan or the United States of America. We'll just say in broader terms, the United States of America. The church has been told, well, everybody's been told not to meet. The church has been told not to meet. But the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the gathering together as many will do in the last days, but instead get together and encourage one another. The Bible also says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God, and when they grow old, they will still bear fruit. So, there's an order out that says don't meet, but the Word of God says don't forsake the meeting. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Maybe there will be consequences for that, guys, but that's what I'm going to stand with. Okay. Elderly. This is absolutely depressing. This really hurts my feelings. As a nurse for 30 years, in the medical field, and working in nursing homes and in hospice, on locked psychiatric units and med-surg, different areas like that. I think of our hospitals and I think of our elderly right now in nursing homes that are locked away. Yeah. They're locked away. They're getting styrofoam trade food. They can't have any visitation from family, and they're dying alone. And then the family is left going, man, I didn't even get an opportunity to say goodbye. Or I said goodbye through Zoom. Or I looked at them through a window. Your elderly are not pets.
Come on.
It is not a pet store. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the how much is the doggy in the window. It is your loved one. Get out there and look and touch your loved one. But the narrative is that if you go to your loved one, you're going to bring a disease to them that could kill them. But yet, government has put those that had disease back into the nursing home, and more died in the nursing home than out. It is absolutely ludicrous. Insanity. So the Bible says, for the elderly in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, that you're to honor thy father and thy mother. Honoring thy father and thy mother doesn't mean letting them die alone. What does the word say? I take you back to that. James 1, 7. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is that that visits the orphans and the widows. We've got widows and widowers in nursing homes all across this land that are being taken care of by caretakers that maybe don't have the full care for them. I'm telling you, if you have family members that are locked away, they're literally locked away, and you're being told you can't see them. Listen, we're in our fourth month right now, and they're calling for the second wave. Do you think it's going to end anytime soon? You see, they're not loosening restrictions. They're increasing restrictions. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to stand up and say enough is enough? You know, I think that if my mom and dad were alive, whether I brought them something that was going to kill them or not, they would rather see me than live isolated and imprisoned. I'm just saying that, guys. It's just the realities. We have to look at these things. Work. I'm not going to go to work yet. Let's go to touch. Touch. There are, I think, three places in the Bible, just in the New Testament, that talk about that we are to greet each other with a holy kiss. Amen. Not just one part of the Bible, but three parts that say we're to greet each other with a holy kiss. But right now we're told, don't touch, stay apart. That's not what the Word says. The Word doesn't say that. And there are people that will use Old Testament scripture that will say, you know what, it's okay to isolate yourself to your home because that's what the people of Israel did when the death angel passed over. They put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and the death angel passed over and they were protected, but they sheltered in place. And that's what people will say. But I'm here to tell you, but New Testament says that the blood of the lamb has covered me. Has covered me. And so when I look at the Word of God and I say, well, if the blood of the lamb has covered me, then there's a purpose, and I believe that I am protected by the blood of the Lamb. See, my doorpost, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? And so I'm not going to live in fear in that manner. These are things that I think we need to think about. Because, again, we're on an unnamed road. I don't know what it looks like, guys. I have no clue. You can come to me and, Pastor, what do you think? I don't know. Let's get in the Word together and see, because I think we need to study it together. Because none of us know what it looks like right now. Work. Right now, they have shut down businesses, not just in Michigan, all across the world. They've shut them down. People who have worked. Am I boring you guys?
No.
Okay. People who have worked all their life to provide for their family. They've built businesses. Blood, sweat, and tears have gone into making these small companies come to life. They have opened their doors and created jobs for other people. But yet, ruling authorities have shut it down and said you can't do it, and if you do it, you'll be fined. It's like they got people over a barrel. Nope, there's going to be more repercussions. And so God bless the barber who opened up his barber shop in Owosso. God bless the gym that I belong to. Then all gyms across this state are closed, but my gym is open. They've taken a stand. And I support them in taking a stand. Why? Because it is their free right to do so. Now, what does the Word say about work? The Word has a lot to say about work. In Colossians 3:23, work heartily for the Lord. Psalms 128:2. You shall eat the fruit of thy labor of your hands. Proverbs 21:23. This is just a small list. The desire of the sluggard kills him. His hands refuse to labor. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow! Listen. We're going to close businesses down, but we're going to give you a bailout. Welfare and handouts do not help people. They keep you down. They keep you down, and they keep you under the thumb of living in a democracy that's not free. There are things set in place to help, but it's not supposed to be the way of life. So the government says, we're going to shut you down. And I don't know how many people I have spoke to that says, no, I never got it. Or I only got this much. How am I supposed to do this? There's a great restaurant in St. Charles where we live called The Rustic. Restaurants can be open right now, but they're not open because they can't afford to be open with the restrictions that are put into place. The Bible tells us to work, guys. The government has told us not to work. See, I don't understand why somebody who has that offers a service to somebody, why they can't work, but a big box store can be open. When they say don't gather, but yet there's hundreds of people in a big box store, but not in the other. You see, none of this makes sense to me the whole time. None of it's made sense. It doesn't resonate with the spirit God has given me. So, but these are things we should talk about. Stuff we should talk about. Second Timothy 2:6. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have first share of the crops. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. We've been designed to work. You know, the stimulus is ending now. The extra stimulus for those that were laid off is ending. Businesses are being shut down that will never open again. But there's still a narrative out there that says, be afraid. There's more people right now depressed and committing suicide than ever. But you need to be afraid of COVID. You need to shut your life down and be afraid of COVID. I don't agree with that. I do agree COVID's a real thing, but living your life in fear is no life to live at all. It debilitates you and it shuts you down. I'm kind of somber this morning, man, because I've seen the greatness of this country firsthand in our nation's capital, and I've seen the sacrifices that were made by men and women for hundreds of years to make this great country. But then I've seen just a few loud mouths stop everything, shut stuff down, make Christians be silent. It's time for it to stop. One of the coolest things, many of you know because of some trauma that I had went through a year ago, one song that really resonated with me is the song, It Is Well. In reading George Washington, he got sick. And in 2 days, he died. The last two words that George Washington, the very first president of the United States, said, the last two words, 'tis well. 'Tis well. Faithful Christian man. So I say to you this morning, as an American, as a Christian in this wonderful country, 'tis well. 'Tis well. But we have a job to do. Amen. We have a job to do.
Yes, sir.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we are on a unnamed road. We don't know what it is going to look like tomorrow. But Father, today we serve you. Today we love you. Today we know you. And maybe tomorrow we'll be face to face before you. But Father, it doesn't matter. You've given us a job to do. You've given us a duty to do. You've given us the words that say respect the government. Father, I pray that every tongue that speaks idly, that speaks death over our leaders, that it would be silenced. That, Father, that we would lift them in prayer. Whether we agree or disagree, that we would respect the office and their authority. But ultimately, Lord, we stand on your word that says, you, Jesus, are King of the kings. And so, Father, we thank you that we will adhere to your word, that if we have questions, we will look in the word for the answers because you've given it to us, that we will search out the spirit that you've placed within us because you'll speak to us. Your Father, your word says we have not because we've asked not. So, Father, we glorify you. We ask for a release of freedom. We ask for a release of truth. We ask for a release of understanding. We ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that eyes would be opened and ears would hear and listen and hearken unto one and true God. Father, thank you for protecting our families. Thank you for protecting the Christian faith, the walk, this beautiful country that we live in. Yes. Father, if there is someone that doesn't know you, I pray that they would search their heart, that they would come to know you, they would get in the word, they would be made new. Father, there are people in this world that say, I can't change because I was born this way. But Father, the greatest thing I ever heard was, that's why you've got to get born again. But Father, I pray for those to be born again, those that have grown weary to be refreshed, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.